Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey guys, on this week's debate show, we discussed who is Liverpool's most important player. Is it Alisson? Is it Van Dijk? Is it Alexander-Arnold? Is it Fabinho? Is it Salah? Or is it somebody else? Check out this video and make your own minds up.
We might as well just jump straight into it then. And Ian, the floor is yours for topic number one. Do you want to pose your question and then explain why you brought this one to the table?
My question is Fabinho Liverpool's most important player?
Okay.
For me, I think he is. That's why I wanted to ask the question. Not only in the position he plays, because it's a very specified role, but how he does it. I think that was most underlined last season when he went back into that position when we lost all the centre-backs for the last 10 games of the season. We put two young centre-backs and we went on that massive run. And I think it was a lot down to Fabinho going right back into that position. We've been saying it for a long time on our show, didn't we, that we needed Fab to go back in there. And when he did, it just seemed right. It just seemed like things started to work again for Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's clear to me. For me, he's the best one, if not the best defensive midfielder in the world, or one of, he's certainly in that mix there. But again, if you're looking at other contenders, then if it's not Fabinho, off the top of my head, I've done a few notes before, there's the goalkeeper, but the drop-off between him to Callaghan might not be, I mean, it's still big, but it might not be catastrophic, where if you take Fabinho out, it probably is. So I was thinking then Trent Alexander-Arnold, because if you take Trent out, with all due respect to Nico Williams, Conor Bradley or Joe Gomez or James Milner, we are just a fundamentally different side. Mo Salah's Mo Salah, obviously. However, Liverpool have just won plenty of games without him. So my guess is really, in your mind, if it isn't Fabinho, who do you think is in this conversation with us?
It's an interesting point because I think the way our midfield set up, and you make the point about Trent. Trent is our creative influence.
Yes.
You know, a lot was said when he gave the ball away 40 times in a game. Doesn't matter because he's the risk taker. He's the guy that takes the chances and creates the opportunities. But the midfield allows the likes of Trent, Robbo and the front three to be what they are.
Yep.
So you take Fabinho out of it, you lose your balance.
You do.
So he gives you the control of the game when you haven't got the ball by what he covers, the areas he picks up, the spaces he covers. Marking space is probably the hardest thing to do in a football match from a concentration level alone. When he's playing with Thiago, Thiago controls the game with the ball, so there's two different elements to control in the game. You get both with both of them. Take Fabinho out, we've got big problems. Henderson did it really well against United in the 5-0, but he was playing against arguably the worst United midfield we've played against in 20 years.
Yeah.
So it was easy for him. They didn't really offer too much. It's just his reading of the game. He's not particularly quick, but because he reads the game a yard quicker than everybody else, he's there first.
Yeah.
I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here. First game of the season against Chelsea, Timo Werner comes to Anfield with Chelsea and he marked him out of the game and he's a pace merchant. So it is about the reading of the game and he's not as slow as some people have you believe. He is fundamental to what we do and without him, the whole setup and the whole ability to read the game and shut down the things the opposition are trying to do tactically very clever, they go. They're gone completely.
He's brilliant and I suppose like looking at not just, we've got so many world-class players, we've got a world-class goalie, world-class centre-backs, probably the two best full-backs in the world, world-class DM, the best player in the world. Diogo Jota's come on like a house on fire. We are so blessed with the team we've got, not to mention, again, Thiago, Henderson, Kai, we are so many of them. There's a stat in baseball, and I'm not going to get the name right, but essentially, like, the level between you and your replacement. So how good are you performing to the guy who comes in when you fill in? So I'm thinking, for example, as good as Virgil is, like, if Liverpool had to have a month with Matip, and then it was Gomez or Konate, I think we'd be, it wouldn't be ideal, we'd be all right. Same if Alisson missed a month, we'd rely on Kelleher. Like, there's a drop-off, but the drop-off isn't there. I suppose with Fab, there's not really anyone, because I'm not sure Henderson is a six. I thought, for example, was it the Brighton game perhaps, where he just didn't look quite at it. He looks like he's more adapted to the eight, and when he goes back into the six, he's kind of like not there anymore. Trent's definitely in this position, because if you lose Trent Alexander-Arnold, with, again, you're going back down to Neco, I used to feel this with Robertson, but the emergence of Shimakas has kind of nailed that one down. So if you look at most important, there's ways to justify it. But I think that's a really key one, is that if you take him out for a month, are Liverpool completely knackered? And I'm with you. I think Fabinho is definitely in that mix. And I think Trent is the other one where I'd be like, we're in trouble there.
I think what it is about Fabinho as well is his whole stature and the whole way he plays the game. He has an infectious way of playing the game. If Liverpool aren't looking at the races, even though he's a DM, he's quite willing to grab the ball and bomb on 20 yards. He will do it. He'll try and create as well. I've said it plenty of times, Steve. He's like Virgil van Dijk, but in midfield. That's how I see him. That's how good he is. He's a man mountain in there. I love the way the smile he's got on his face constantly. He reminds me a bit of John McClane from Die Hard. You can imagine him kicking someone and saying, yippee-ki-yay. he's just cool. He's just a cool player. And I do worry when he doesn't play.
Yeah, I agree.
If there's a starting lineup and he's not there, I get nervous because I just know we're not going to have the control that we have in midfield when he's there. Like you mentioned Henderson playing there. Henderson can do the role, but when he's doing it, he doesn't look like he wants to do it. He doesn't look like he wants to be there. And that's not me criticising Henderson. That's just the natural player in Henderson. He doesn't want to sit. He doesn't want to be a number six. He wants to go and create things and he wants to go and fill in spaces.
But it's hard. It's hard to be a number six because, in my point previously, it's about the concentration. It's about when you see everything in front of you in panoramic vision and it breaks down and you know that they're going to play the ball into the left-hand channel. You've got to get across there and read the game. Yeah. What impresses me about Fabinho is he's quite happy to step forward with the ball. Cast your mind back to the little sand wedge over the top for Mane to score against Man United. He's got passing in his locker as well.
He's got goals. He's added goals to his game.
Belters, the City goal, ridiculous. The Crystal Palace goal, ridiculous.
But Henderson now as well. He's getting involved off set pieces, hasn't he, as well?
I know, for what we paid for him, and it was really left field. We never saw it coming, did we? Doing the Melwood lean with the T-shirt on. What a tremendous signing he's been. And there were clubs all over Europe looking at him, and we stole a march. And people say we never replaced Mascherano. Fabinho is better than Mascherano for me.
I tend to agree as well. And he's certainly won more, hasn't he? We've got a comment here from our bod who says, Steve, by far our most important player is Trent. Fabinho is probably next in line, but the drop-off when Trent is out is the most notable. And this might be skewed by the quality of backup options in those positions, because Hendo covers six, perhaps, better than Neco covers Trent. And that was kind of the point I was getting at. I'm with you, didn't I? I think it's for me, I don't know who it is, but I know he goes on to say there's a case for Mo Salah, but obviously we have better cover in the forward positions when everyone's fit. I think we've seen in the last few weeks, we've got options up there. It's not pretty, and no one's going to be anywhere near Mo Salah, because there's actually very few players on the planet who are as good as Mo Salah. It's a select group of like five individuals who could be even in the conversation. So that's the justification for Mo, but the difference between best.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
the most important. You still have to bring Mo into this because without Mo Salah last season, we would have been in the shit. I think that we saw him carry us a little bit, didn't we, to get into Europe. He was helped by a few unlikely heroes and a goal. He scored an header. But overall, it was Mo Salah's goal. So I think he's got to be in there as well. My argument for Trent is kind of, not only what Obod says, but my feeling is, if Trent isn't on the pitch, Liverpool have to play completely differently. I think without Fabinho, they're not as good, but Liverpool will still be Liverpool. The other two midfielders will just do the same roles. Everyone else, it'll be fine for everyone else. I actually think at times there's been justification for playing Neco in certain games because he's the one, he is like your Gary Neville, Rob Jones, old right back. He'll just run to the byline and whip it in and see what comes of it. Liverpool without Trent, it's like, well, who's actually crossing the ball to who's doing this job now? And that's why I feel like when Trent isn't available, the whole style of play has to change. And listen, Milner's done well there and Neco's done well there. Conor Bradley has impressed in a couple of games as well. That's my thinking, is that not only is Trent the best right back in the world, with the cover to him and what he brings to the team is so unique. Again, who else could do that? You'd have to sign Kevin De Bruyne or David Beckham and play him there. You get what I'm saying? That's the argument for Trent for me.
Well, he's reinvented the role, hasn't he? That's what Trent's done. He's gone and there's no other right back now. Well, there is now because the people have stood on Trent's shoulders,
yeah,
and they've gone, right, that's the way we want to play.
No one can do it, though, can they?
But they're trying to do it. That just shows how good the Trent is. The other players are looking at him going, right, this is how I want to play the game now. And he's progressing. He's almost progressed the game himself onto his next level in the way the game's played. I still don't think he's fully appreciated outside of Liverpool. I still think there's Liverpool fans out there that give Trent stick when he doesn't need it. The guy is one of them players that while he's at your club and as long as he's playing football, you need to just sit back and enjoy what he's doing and just look at the positives he's giving you.
Look at the pass he plays for Palace.
But he's not an orthodox right-back. I'll guarantee you, when they sit down at the start of the season and talk about seasonal targets, Trent is about creativity.
Yeah.
And when we concede down our right-hand side, the opponent's left-hand side, I'll bet you it's the right-hand centre-back and the right-hand centre midfielder, so a.k.a. Matip and Henderson, to get dug out by Klopp the next day for not covering the space.
Yeah.
Trent is only a right-back on the team sheet. That's it. The rest of what he does isn't typical of a right-back.
Yeah, you're right. And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying about the... If you're looking at it in pure importance, I think we have to be a completely different team when he's not in there. I think... But moving on today, is there anyone else we've not considered who you think could be worth a shout? Like I mentioned, obviously, how good is Alisson? We saw that at the weekend. He is just out of this world. Van Dijk is the best in the world. We've got loads. Is there anyone else we haven't spoken about, do you think?
I think it's interesting you mention Alisson because whilst Kelleher is a great deputy, Paul's mentioned this on the show before, that he doesn't have the presence yet. He still looks like a boy grown into a man, whereas Alisson's a monster, isn't he? When he closes you down and he gets there. I think one of the goals we conceded against Chelsea, Alisson would have been off his line closing that space down. Kelleher stayed at home and Virgil went and tried to cover the other side of the goal. So collectively as a team, there's a bit of criticism for that. That's the difference between Alisson and Keller. Alisson's got an aura and a presence about him, and he's a big fella as well, mate.
He is. I think he's definitely in the mix, isn't he? He's still got the big fella in goal. Like as much as, again, if Keller has to play for six games, I'm fine with it. But there's still what I get with Alisson more, and I think we saw this at the weekend. He makes more saves that he's got no right to make. Like if Alisson lets the back heel in, or he gets lobbed by the fella, or you know the one when he goes round him and gets a touch on, even though that was called offside where he gets his hand out to it like a big bear mitt and puts it over the bar. If any of those end up in the back of the net, no one's looking at Alisson going, Alisson could have done better. They're like the saves, like it's almost XG and X saves, like they're not expected saves. I'm just not quite sure Keevan's at that level yet. And also, by the way, I think it's worth mentioning, our goalies are busier this year. For whether it's a systemal thing, a style of play, people just getting back into where they are. I've noticed I feel like our goalies are having to do a bit more than they have in previous seasons. So, again, the big fella in goal is definitely in this conversation too.
Oh, he's got to be. And I would go as far. My other choice for the top is Alisson the best goalkeeper we've ever had? Which I put in the WhatsApp group to you, but I went with the Fabinho one in the end. That's how good he is. That's how important he is for us. For me, I just think Callagher's just got a bit of way to go to beat
Alisson.
But every goalkeeper in the world's got a bit to go to get to Alisson. That's how good Alisson is. I think Alisson this week looked like a man on a mission because Callagher had been getting a bit of love from
didn't
Klopp.
He didn't even do his hair, did he? He had the shaggy hair. Like, I don't give a fuck. I am getting out there. I am showing you.
Klopp's been saying good things about Callagher. He needs to remind him that I'm here. And he went on there and he had one of the best games of the season.
I loved Klopp's quotes. He was, I went to Alisson and said, you saved that arse. Basically, he went, yeah, that's my job. Of course, I saved the back heel from 2 yards out because that's what I'm here for. Any other goalie could be like, ah, well, I made the save that I was meant to, I caught them, but he was like, no, it's my job, I'm fine with it.
And it's amazing, and that's the dedication of the guy. And what we're seeing now is the best goalkeeper in a one-on-one situation since Peter Schmeichel. And to put him in that conversation, because Schmeichel used to say, God knows how many of them, Alisson's there, he's in that conversation for the amount of one-on-ones he saves. His anticipation of what the striker's going to do, amazing.
So, guys, judge, it's time has come. Ian's, you're sticking with Fab? No one's changed your mind?
No, I'm sticking with Fabinho.
So, the important place for Fabinho. Steve, what you're thinking?
I'm going to go with Trent, because if you take the Jota goal last week in the Cup, there's no other player in the squad who gets the ball in that position and could put the ball on a sixpence.
And the Palace pen.
And the 60, 70-yard ball that didn't come down for Jota to get his shot off. If he scores that, we're talking about that pass for months. They'll do a documentary on Sky about that. I just think because of what we're doing and because of the way our full-backs play, and Andy Robbo's making himself crucial as well again, as you pointed out earlier. I just think you're right, Steve, when you said before, we take Trent out, Liverpool are a different animal.
Yeah. Again, there's people probably screaming, listening or watching this, just going, it's Mo Salah. He's your best player. He's your most important player. And there's absolutely justification for that. Me thinking, I'm torn between all three of them, to be honest. I think I'm going to go Trent. But again, I think what it does, the fact that it's even like a debate, just shows you how good we are. Like, there's other teams you go, yeah, he's the best player and he's the most important player. Man City actually in this boat as well. Actually, Man City got 4 or 5 who you go, it might be him, but if you take him out, so if it's De Bruyne, who's probably their best player, well, if he doesn't play, ah, well, we'll just have to play Phil Foden, and you're like, oh, well, interviews. But, if Ederson goes out, for example, they're probably weaker. They might say Ederson's their most important because their backup isn't as good as ours. Yeah. There's so many ways to justify it. For me, it's like, who's fundamental to how you play? It's all of them. Obviously, it's the system and it's Jürgen and it's Pep Linders, but for me, I'm gonna stick with Trent, I think. But yeah, I'd be fascinated, guys, if you're watching. Please do get involved in the chat. Let us know who you picked. If you're watching again after the post, please do tweet us at the Red Men TV, or you can comment on the website as well. There's a comment section at the bottom. Please let us know your thoughts, because it's a very interesting debate. We've all given our answers. I don't think any of us are 100% comfortable with it, which shows that. But we'll move on, Steve. So your question is more long season related. If you want to throw that out to us and explain why you come up with this one.
So my question would be, what do we want more? Do we want title number 20? Or Champions League win number 7.
So, guys, if you want the answer to that question, would we prefer number 20 or number 7, as well as who should be Virgil van Dijk's long-term partner at centre-back, head on over to theredmentv.com and join Red Men Plus.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.